Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to spend a few minutes this morning with you in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, in this text that Bill just read for us. I think there's some important teaching here. I think it's a fundamental text that's written for our instruction, but also our encouragement, our exhortation, our motivation to stay the course, to hold on to our faith, to persevere, to finish what we've started in coming to the Lord. Whenever I read this text, it always reminds me of that story of Peter walking on the water. I think that's a good image for us to keep in our heads when we think about our own lives. As you recall, the disciples were trying to make their way across the Sea of Galilee, which was often beset with storms that could come upon you very quickly and suddenly and seemingly out of nowhere. One could find oneself caught in the middle when it came. And that's what happened. Jesus was not with them at that moment. And so the wind is howling and the waves are battering the boat. They're having a hard time of it. And they see Jesus walking on the water. They don't recognize him at first. They're afraid. Is this a ghost? A spirit? What is this I'm seeing? But Jesus calls out, identifies himself, says, "It is I, do not fear." And so Peter says, "Well, Lord, if it's you, permit me to walk on the water, to come to you." Jesus says, "Come." He steps out of the boat, takes a few precarious steps, seems to be doing okay, but then he makes a critical error. He takes his eyes off Jesus. All he can see is the storm whirling around him. And he begins to sink. And that's what I think, metaphorically speaking, happens to all of us many times in life. Life is like a voyage. It's like a crossing of the sea. It's leaving what's familiar and going to what is mysterious and unknown, but promises much greater glory than what we leave behind. But it's not an easy, smooth sailing often, is it? It's just not. I mean, life is not like that. There are storms, there are waves that batter us, there's the rain pounding, the wind howling. And so this text in Hebrews 12 is one that we ought to take note of and remember, especially in those times when we are dealing with some problem, difficulty, when it seems like everything is against us, the wind is blowing against us, and we don't seem to be making progress. We're afraid. We're seeking safe harbor and we're having a tough time of it. This text can help us. And there's something vital here to our success and to our safe landing, and that is keeping our eyes on Jesus. Not succumbing to the temptation to look at the storm, but to keep our eyes on Jesus, who's right there. As long as we keep our eyes on him, we can make it. So these words are written for our encouragement. And Jesus, we need to look at Jesus because he went through his own storm, didn't he? He had a tough road to travel. He had to endure. He had to suffer. And so he's a trailblazer for us. That's why he says he's the founder or the author and perfecter or finisher of our faith. He completed the work of redemption on the cross, but he had to endure the cross. He had to endure the suffering. He had to endure the shame. He had to go through all that pain to accomplish God's will. And how did he do it? It says he did not look at that. Rather, he looked ahead to the joy that was set before him. You see, there's a difference between seeing with your eyes and seeing with your mind. I mean, if we're just merely seeing with our eyes, then obviously we're going to see everything around. It's not, which is happening. We got to see with our mind. We have to see the end of the journey that we're on. We have to have the faith to believe that we will get to where we need to be if we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. So we have to see with the mind. We have to see with the heart. We have to have the sight that faith gives us to believe that God will deliver us. So that's what, he says, Jesus, for the joy set before him, suffered what he suffered. Now, what was that joy? Was it the joy of being seated at God's right hand? Partly. Was it the joy of all the glory that would be bestowed on him? Partly. Was it the joy of being given all authority? Being given a name above every name? Being the firstborn? Being the one who is preeminent over all? Partly. But I think really what the joy for the Lord was the joy of seeing sinners like us redeemed. That was his joy more than anything. He suffered what he suffered because he was happy to look ahead, and it pleased him to see us forgiven and redeemed. That's why it's so important, brothers and sisters, that we keep our eyes focused on him. Because he is the example. He endured the cross. You know, the cross represents the crucifixion, his death. It was a shameful way to die. I mean, it was reserved for the worst criminals and the worst offenders. Certainly if you were a slave and you did something wrong, if you broke the law, I mean, most likely you would be crucified. You would not have the honor, like Paul did as a citizen, to just merely be beheaded. You would be crucified. And many Christians were crucified. But Jesus, who is the Creator, who made all things, who made the wood that they used to make the cross, to fashion the cross, that they impaled him on, that they nailed him to, he endured it. He endured the mockings, the scourging, the taunting of the crowd, the insults from his own creation. But how did Jesus, what? How much weight did he give to all of that? Not very much. It says he despised the shame. In other words, he really didn't give it that much thought. When you despise somebody, there's somebody you just don't think is all that important, all that significant. They really don't factor into your thought process at all. Jesus despised the shame. That's something that we have to learn how to do, is not overestimate the weight of the shame that comes with being a Christian. It's really not that big of a deal. Yeah, it's unpleasant. It's saddening to be the object of ridicule, to be persecuted for your faith. But compared to the glory and to the joy that God has promised us, it really, really is insignificant. It's really not that important. But we make it bigger and more important than it really is. And that's one of the ways in which we struggle to follow Jesus' example and keeping our eyes focused on what we need to focus on, because we're too focused on all the bad stuff that's happening to us. He says, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. So again, the exhortation is keeping our thoughts and centered on Jesus and considering, thinking about what he went through on our behalf. He suffered hostility. He was targeted by his enemies. They crucified him. They put him to death. And, you know, they made him suffer before killing him. They scourged him. And even being nailed to a cross was a torturous way to die. It was a slow way to die. And it involved a lot of suffering. And so Jesus suffered all of this abuse and persecution. It wasn't just verbal, but physical. But he did it, I said, because his joy was seeing you and me saved from our sins. He came to reclaim us, to redeem us, to bring us back into a relationship with God. So he says, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. So if you're feeling weary, you're feeling faint, then please read this text and think about it and pray to God to help you apply it in your life, to keep your focus on Jesus. You know, if you've embarked on some great project or task, whether it was, you know, a sport that you participate in, or maybe some educational opportunity, maybe some new career that you want to pursue, you know, the prize isn't won the first or second day or third day or fourth day. It's a long process, isn't it? And there are times when you fall down, and times when you make mistakes, and times when you don't succeed. The times when you let other things distract you and keep you from doing what you ought to do, and hinders your performance. The life of a Christian, you know, is like a race, but it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. That means speed is not the critical factor. Endurance is. And you're going to get short of breath sometime. Your legs are going to hurt. You're going to sweat. You're going to get tired and fatigued. You might even stumble and fall down, scrape your left knee. You might get hurt. You might suffer a wound that never heals completely. What did the writer have us say or do? Keep your eyes looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now that's why he wrote this letter to these Christians, because they were in danger of doing that very thing. They had been persecuted. They had suffered. They'd have their property taken away. Some of them had been put in prison. They'd been harassed, abused and mistreated. There were Jewish Christians, who, like their ancient fathers in the wilderness, wanted to turn back. This is too hard. You know, I set out on this journey and things have gotten rough. The sea is just too rough. I want to go back. And he says, no, don't do that. First of all, we have this great cloud of witnesses, and that's like all the people he writes about in chapter 11, the heroes of faith. You have all of them to be a source of encouragement, but most importantly, you have Jesus. And that's who you need to keep your eyes fixed on. So never lose sight of the suffering that Jesus endured for you. Whatever you're suffering, he suffered more. And how did he do it? How did he endure? How did he finish what he came to do? It's because of the joy of seeing people, God's people, saved, that carried it through. And so when we become tired and discouraged, we need to reflect on that example. Don't be like Peter in that moment. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. His strength is more powerful than the storm that you're going through. Is anyone here this morning who is not a Christian, who knows the truth and wants to be reconciled to their Creator? We give you this opportunity to come and confess your faith, repent of your sins, and be baptized into His death so that you can become a new creature. Your sins forgiven and given a new hope and a new life in Him. A life that He will sustain you through the good and the bad times. So we can help you this morning. If you're subject to the invitation, would you please come as we stand?